Parshas Pikudei. So last week we learned about the setting up of the Mishkan. Pikudei is the audit. The fact that we're now going to account for all the raw materials that were collected. It begins listing the amount of gold, silver, and copper. And even though it was with Moshe and Bezalel, the greatest tzaddikim, they still wanted to show that they had properly used every object and every donation. And the Sephornis says that the Mishkan and its individual parts were of such tremendous Kedusha holiness that they survived intact through all times and wars, and that they're buried under the Har HaBayis and they're forever. This is one thing that is indestructible. The Luchos are there, and the original Kalim as well. So this pasuk starts, and it says, these are the reckonings. Here's the audit of what was taken through Moshe's request. It was the work of Leviim, who did a lot of the work in the building, under the authority of Isamar ben Aaron a Kohen. Then it says that Bezalel, the son of Uri ben Hur of Yehuda, did everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded, and with him was Aholiyav, son of Achisamach of Dun, a carver, weaver, and embroiderer, with turquoise, purple, scarlet wool, and with linen. So, we're told that what the early Rashi on this Parsha says, that Moshe Rabbeinu and, and Bezalel had a discussion. Moshe, we know in Truma, lists the objects of the Mishkan, and first he talks about the Arayin, then he talks about the Shulchan, the curtains, etc. And later on we get to the Chatzar, or we get to the housing, the building aspect that held everything. And Bezalel turns to Moshe, and he says to Moshe, okay, I understand, but I think that you can't build furniture and vessels without first having a building. You don't put up a menorah, a shulchan, right, and a mizbeach, which go into the kodshei kodshim, until you have a kodshei kodshim. And Moshe says to Bezalel, oh, you must have been standing Bezalel Kale. You were standing in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because you're right. That's the way it is supposed to be done. And the question is, was this such a simple discussion between Moshe and between Bezalel as to what gets built first, or is there greater significance, greater detail involved? Rabbi Ari Gottesman said this word over last night between Mincha and Marv. And he said, I want to look at two other aspects. It says, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argued, what was created first, Eretz or Shemayim? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create heaven first, or earth, or the land itself? And we have the fact that we see that Vayakhel inversed the order, that it started with the building and then the items in the Mishkan. And so what's going on? He quoted Rav Yosef Gaon, who said, no, all of these three questions or order is really the question of what is the goal? What is the most important part of creation? Is it earth that we're on, or is it Olam Haba in future? Is it getting involved in the everyday nitty-gritty, or is it preparing for Olam Haba and acquiring mitzvot? Do we need to, so to speak, put major effort to accomplish here solely for the eventual spirituality all of Klal Yisroel will find? And he said, that's almost a question of whether our goof, our body, or our nefesh, the part HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, is the prime driver. What's the means and what's the end? Is physicality only to accomplish the end goal of Ruchnius? And he points out that at Har Sinai, when the Jewish people said Naaseh V'Nishma, they were at a stage of perfection. At that stage, their bodies almost became neshama-like. They were basically almost all spirituality. And in that way of living, in that way, had they continued, yes, we could have had the vessels. We could have had the holy vessels of the Mikdash first, and then, because that was the essence, and then afterwards, we would get the housing. However, we know that the Egel occurred. We know that Klal Yisroel fell from their perch, and we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, this Kulei Ruchniist way of living won't work. The people, such as they are, can't continue on this high level. Maybe that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them per se, and maybe he had to have them learn this. Therefore, after the Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want Klal Yisroel to take an approach that's more based on worldly endeavors. I want them to exert worldly efforts to create the Kedusha, the holiness. At this stage, we now need a building. We can't just insert the Ruchnius into the open air space. We now needed the building. And in needing the building, once we put up the building with his lavas, with enthusiasm, with love, then we could move to building the very kalim that were in it. And that's basically what Rabbi Gottesman said was the entire issue and the entire discussion, be it between Moshe and Bezalel, be it between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. My former Rav, who was still my Rebbe, Rav Yehoshua Weber, pointed out in his shiur before Shabbos that we even see the same concept in the notion of the argument between Rashi and the Rambam. When was the Mikdash mitzvah given? Was it given on Sinai at the time of the Aseres HaDibros? Or was it actually given in the last of the 120 days in Shemayim? Because we know that Moshe came down, and we said the next day, right, after Yom Kippur, right, Yisra Chag Yom Kippur, he told the people about the Mishkan. And he says again, let's look again at the presentation of the Mishkan, first in Truma and in Vayakel. As we said, Truma, we get the Orion first. We get the holiest item, the first item mentioned. And after we have all the kalim, we get some other information. And lastly, we get the mizbeach on which the ketores was brought. And he points out from Mefarshim that the ketores was supposed to be the holiest endeavor, the holiest reach nichoyach that would go up. And that's why it was placed last, as we say, achron achron chaviv, the last thing. We turn to Vayakel, and we start with the building, and we get all the kalim, and now the Mizbeach HaZohav, the Mizbeach for Ketores, is in the listing, right? It's not, it doesn't have a segregated, let's say, special place. It's now one of the vessels. And he quoted the Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim, that he said, do you know why we had to have the Ketores? He said it was to basically offset the smell of the many, many animals being shechted in the Beis HaMikdash, which can give you a putrid aroma. And so this was the, he says, the worldly method of diffusing this odor and making sure that nobody felt that, you know, the odor in the Beis HaMikdash and in Mishkan was inappropriate. And he said, look, huh? No, it didn't. Yes, it did. They had the Ketores and the Mishkan. The Ketores doesn't matter. They still brought all the same karbonos. The 3 million Jews brought shlomim. They brought asham. They brought all. They had tremendous number of sacrifices daily. You had the same smell from day one. Okay? We're told that. They brought all the same korbanos. They brought the Torah and things of that nation. And, you know, you had the korbanos on the Yom Tovim. You had the 70 bulls on Sukkot. This was all done during the Mishkan. So what he points out is that initially, yes, the Ketores should have been, let's say, otherworldly, and somehow, after the Cheda Egel, and with the more worldly approach to building the Mishkan, it became something, in the Rambam's eyes, that was necessary on a physical level. We still know it's called the Reach Nichayach, and we still know that the Kohen Gadol brought it on Yom Kippur into the Holy of Holies. So it's not black and white. But what Rabbi Weber was saying is, yet its level did come down. And what he's saying is, the argument between the Rambam and Rashi is much the same, that first HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to give the Jewish people at Har Sinai a Mishkan that would be, call it, otherworldly, up in the sky type of spirituality. The Egel proved that that type of life wouldn't work. Therefore, when the actual building of the Mishkan was going to take place, now we have another approach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisroel, we're going to do things in a way that are more amenable to the human condition. We're going to have a Yahadus where you're going to be able to do mitzvos, let's say, with less desire to fall off the way. Will there be problems? Yes, of course. We know all the history of idolatry that the Jewish people had hundreds of years later. We know that Moshe, right, continued to warn them about this. They had to continue to be warned about ways to behave, and yes, they made errors. But there were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into place a Judaism which allowed for human error and allowed for kapora, atonement, from human error. And so we end up with a Yahadus that is, in fact, one that we strive to do Torah and mitzvot for two reasons. We know there's some type of schar in this world, but we're told really there's no real schar for mitzvot until, right, the afterworld, until Olam Haba. But we are able to live a life of Yahadus that gives us self-pleasure. We're not just doing it for Shemayim, for hereafter. There is real Hana in Yontov. There's real Hana in Shabbos. There's real pleasure in learning, in hearing a great idea, right? It hits our neshama. The Torah goes into us. So it's not just an otherworldly approach. It's a physical approach that can be totally satisfying to our physicality, which leads to the great spiritual attainment of the entire nation and the great spiritual achievement that we, Be'ezras Hashem, will enjoy. First in Olam Haba, and then B'moysa Moshiach, when Mashiach comes, and we will see what the result of what all the Jews did in doing mitzvos all that time. Okay, I'm going to stop here.